All right, good afternoon. Good to see you all out there. You've gotten sort of a flavor from the previous speakers about the range of activities that's going on around the country. So my job is to sort of help roll it up into a more meaningful framework. And I was actually talking to Orlando Reyes a little bit earlier, and he was saying, oh, what an interesting, tough challenge to figure out how to evaluate this initiative, and it's been a great challenge. And so I'll move us through some of the activities we've done over the last year and activities to come. No disclosures for me. What I'll talk about today is the effort and the team that we have put together for this. We'll talk about the components of the evaluation itself, the stakeholders, the areas we're evaluating, activities and findings, and some future efforts. So if you're not familiar with the National Network of Public Health Institutes, it's the organization that supports institutes like mine to add capacity to local, state, and national population health improvement organizations and initiatives. So there are a range of institutes around the country, much like mine, and we work with our state and local, and in some cases, national and international partners around initiatives like the NIFI initiative. And so you can see the types and range of activities that institutes engage in. I want to mention the evaluation team, and I'm here as the lead consultant on the evaluation, but there's also two other consultants. I just see two of my other partners in this, Julia Heaney and Kusuma Matamala. And what NNPHI decided to do with this particular cooperative agreement funding was to reach out to the capacity that's in the institutes around evaluation and research to really understand how to pull this team together. So this team does consist of several NNPHI staff, Sarah Gill and Nikki Lawhorn, the consultants that I mentioned here, as well as two others, and a lot of CDC staff, such as Carlos and other CDC staff that we've been working with. And it is this is where cooperative agreement really gets underlined. I've been working intensively on this since January, and we work as a team weekly to talk about where we are with the initiative. And all the things I'll talk about today, Kusuma and Julia have had an active hand in, as well as the other consultants and CDC staff. So it, much like NIFI, we're collaborating across the country. So the purpose of the evaluation is to really look at the ability to demonstrate accountability for the ACA funds, document baseline and initial gains in capacity, understand the achievements and impact of the initiative. And we're really working hard as we can. We're doing better in some ways than others to integrate the evaluation with the program monitoring effort that the grantees have responsibility for. So we don't want to just say, oh, you have this evaluation survey and this evaluation piece and program monitoring. There's a bit of that, but we're trying to be conscientious about what we're asking grantees to do. And this is so we can minimize duplicative efforts and in terms of data collection and make the most sense of the data that we have. Our evaluation stakeholders are the grantees first and foremost themselves, as well as CDC, the national partners you've been hearing from, HHS, and of course Congress. I'm going to skip over this slide and just move on to key activities to date. So we worked intensively with CDC to create a comprehensive evaluation plan. Some of you may know the initiative has changed focus a little bit over the last 6 months, and the evaluation plan has also changed focus, but we've worked on a logic model and key evaluation questions. And again, we're trying as best we can to coordinate those data collection efforts with CDC and the national partners. Our key activities, I'm going to give you a little information of these activities to date, is an assessment of the performance management and improvement practices of the grantees, as well as what we're calling implementation stories. So one of the key things CDC wanted to start off with was an annual assessment of these performance improvement and management practices of the grantees. And our initial assessment was to really look at what was going on with grantees when they received or prior to them receiving the funding. So we actually, as you'll see in a minute, conducted this survey about 6 months into the funding, but we asked them, what was the state of your practices in this area prior to receiving your funding? And so we also looked at the performance improvement managers and other health department activities. We've delivered a final report of this to CDC and have been working mostly on presentations. I wanted to mention the six elements of the survey. They include the performance improvement manager qualifications, intent to apply for FAB accreditation, use of performance systems management tools, best practices, performance and quality improvement activities, and what was the state of the quality improvement culture in the organizations when they received funding. Now, I also want to point out here that many of the questionnaire items came from existing tools. So we looked at the Turning Point Performance Management Collaborative. We used ASTO and NACHO profile survey questions. We also, for the state grantees, said you can skip these questions around certain practices. You will get that data from ASTO. So they were not asked within a six-month time frame to repeat data collection. So many of the, we wanted to be as consistent with existing data collection tools as possible, so we did that. I'm going to give you a little flavor of the results. There is a report available by request. It's still going through clearance within CDC. So some of these you may have heard about already, but the PIMS and the grantee organizations have very diverse backgrounds in performance management and quality improvement, which may necessitate multiple training and technical assistance offerings. So as you might imagine, the PIMS, they were kind of separated on a bell curve. Some had a lot of public health experience, and some had been in their organizations for less than a year. Some had a lot of performance management experience, but they tended to have less public health experience. There was a need for performance management training for all staff in these organizations. Most organizations said that less than 25% of their staff were trained in performance management and quality improvement. Along with that, we really saw a continuing need for leadership training in change management and performance management culture, and specifically there was a need identified for cost efficiency and cost benefit analysis training. And in the previous session on NIFI, there was earlier today there was a question about return on investment. Grantees appear to be well positioned to apply for FAB. Nearly three quarters said they intended to apply for accreditation overall, and two-thirds had completed at least two of the three prerequisites for FAB accreditation. And along with that diversity in background, most grantees have some sort of quality improvement or performance management base. Many of them have used components of a performance management system. They might do this in human resources or in finance, but much of it is sporadic. It is not agency-wide. And they do have some basis for an environment for quality improvement culture. We use elements of the multi-state learning collaborative initiative, questionnaire around the environment for performance management, and most of the grantees agreed to 1 to 5 of the 14 statements that we used. So there's a basis for that culture, but as you can see in the next piece, there's the real need to facilitate that more systematic agency-wide use of performance management. And we particularly like the quote at the bottom. Many of the components for quality improvement are in place, but the level of sophistication and use of formal tools and evaluation varies by program within the agency. And that was just from one grantee's quote on the survey, but very telling of what we saw across the grantees. I'd like to then kind of quickly focus on our implementation stories. This is based on the CDC success story framework, where we chose to capture targeted qualitative data on quick wins and grantee challenges And we created a structured electronic data collection tool and conducted follow-up interviews with grantees. Because of the focus of that, of when we collected this data, we focused our effort on Component 2 grantees who received additional funding and a subset of Component 1 grantees. So 24 grantees submitted a total of 29 stories to us using that structured data collection framework. And we collected those stories from June to September of this year. We're working right now on a report that summarizes all these stories for CDC. And from the outset, we wanted to develop 5 to 10 stories, and we've got 10 stories that are going to be two-page glossies that CDC and others and you will be able to hand out regarding very quick wins. So I want to give you sort of the themes that are coming out of these stories. These are not etched in stone. These are still being developed, but I think they'll build on what we learned from the assessment and give you a flavor of what's going on with the grantees. So infrastructure building involves coordination and collaboration within and across the agencies and partners. Grantees are saying they're creating whole new structures within their agencies. They're creating quality improvement councils across division teams. They're creating whole new frameworks and structures to do this work. They're also working to align these efforts across the agency, maybe trying to build that across the agency performance management work. They're also building on existing partnerships with other health departments, with tribes, academic organizations, and national partners. And many of these themes may not be as surprising to you, but they're going to build on work we've seen. Leadership engagement and staff support are important components of the successful activity implementation. As you might imagine, without a strong leader or champion within the grantee agency, this work is not going to go very far. And so grantees that are reporting they're being successful say that the leadership and the organization makes this a priority. And in only a few cases, but we didn't necessarily ask for this, but on only a few cases did we read about or hear about staff concerns about, you know, new changes, new strategies, we're going to change. There wasn't a lot of skepticism, but several grantees did remark that they've done one-on-one meetings, team meetings to combat any skepticism or concerns and fears about this change. Grantees are building capacities in new areas, and much to Public Health Foundation, academic partner support, other organizations, they're getting that training, that technical assistance, resources. They're using the FAB standards as well as the Turning Point framework as tools to assess where they are in terms of meeting FAB domains and their performance. They're also using peer knowledge. In a previous session around the PIM network, it's that invaluable peer-to-peer knowledge that we discovered in the Multi-State Learning Collaborative that's invaluable in this work. As you might imagine, grantees vary in their readiness to implement their projects. Magda was saying, you know, we got to get up and running. And there was sort of, again, that bell-shaped curve around where the grantees are able to implement their projects. Some of the multi-state learning collaborative states, they're up and ready to go because they've had 2 and 3 and 5 years of experience doing this work. Newer grantees, they need a year of planning activity just to get this work going. You won't be surprised, this is being implemented in a challenging and ever-changing economic and political environment. One of the challenges that a lot of grantees pointed out is just being able to get people hired. It's just being able to get contracts out the door. And as funding is getting smaller and smaller within these organizations, that's getting more challenging. However, at the end of the day, we did hear over and over that this funding is impacting agencies' abilities to change their organizational culture, lead and support innovation, and prepare health departments for accreditation. And they all said this is doing work that some of them had on the books and wanted to do, but just they needed that extra support to get it done. Okay, so quickly, we're going to be taking a lot of this consolidated activity, the assessment, the implementation stories, other data that we have on hand, and do a data analysis and translation think tank. We want to do some additional data collection, but before we go out and collect more data, we want to know what do we really need to know. This could include a second round of implementation stories. We're going to do two more rounds of the assessment, and so those are some of our upcoming activities. You're welcome to contact me with questions, and Nikki Lawhorn at the National Network of Public Health Institutes is the main contact for this work. Thank you very much. I went over time. If there's one question, I'll take it now. Thank you. Magda?
I'm curious about the storytelling, because I think it's a very powerful piece. Have you considered, besides a two-page glossy, the idea of using digital media so that a younger generation can learn in new ways, and maybe voice over PowerPoint or something that tells a story in a more compelling way than print?
That's a great suggestion, and our main customer is CDC, and we will take that suggestion to CDC. No, I think it's a really good idea, but their main intent was to have print pieces to hand out to perhaps those more mature decision makers who are looking for the print. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.